Hello and welcome to the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark and thank you for joining us. If it's your first time, welcome. We focus on smaller elements of jazz recorded history, maybe narrower is a better way of looking at it. I try to give a little bit more detail onto smaller things than might usually be discussed on a radio program or a CD issue or what have you. Today we're going to be listening to some recreations of what was known as the Red Back Book of Rags. And this was an edition of ragtime music scored for band that was put out in about 1911 or 1912 by John Stark, who was a ragtime publisher. He was one of Scott Joplin's primary publishers. And initially this was called the High Class Standard Rags Book. And came out of St. Louis, Missouri, and was scored for an ensemble that included cornet, trombone, clarinet, flute, sometimes doubling piccolo, two violins, viola, cello, bass, drums, and piano, I believe. And these were all instruments that would have been found in a concert band of the day, or a theater orchestra. Those were quite possible as well. The piano might have been, part might have been played by an accordion. It might have also been played by a guitar. We're going to hear some versions where the guitar is taking part of the piano book here. So a number of New Orleans jazz bands used this edition of the Red Back Book of Rags in the 1910s. They tended to be the more society-based bands, like Armand Perrone's group and so forth. It required a pretty high standard of music reading ability. These were not easy tunes, and the arrangements were taken directly from the piano score, so they weren't necessarily idiomatic to those instruments. It could be very difficult to play. Periodically, over the first few decades of jazz recording history, some bands, especially New Orleans-style bands, would record some of these arrangements, sometimes incomplete or adapted into jazz standards somehow, but usually staying pretty faithful to the arrangements themselves. In a past podcast, we listened to the music of Kid Ory's Creole Jazz Band recording for Crescent in the 1940s, 1944 and 45, and they recorded a couple of ragtime tunes, Maple Leaf Rag, Down Home Rag, and so forth. The Maple Leaf Rag was largely taken from the Red Back Book, although I don't think they were actually using the music. I think they were remembering the parts from their early days. We're going to start out with three tunes that were recorded by Papa Mutt Carey and his New Yorkers. Mutt Carey was the trumpet player on those Kid Ory sides. He was born in 1891, just outside of New Orleans, and he got his start playing in the city in the very early 1910s with Kid Ory for a while. He came from a musical family. He was a pretty good reader. He later went to Los Angeles with Ory and played there for quite a while and played for movies and dance halls and so forth. And in the 1940s, Ory reconstituted his band, and he and Mutt Carey and various other players developed a certain amount of celebrity in the Los Angeles area playing traditional New Orleans music. Orson Welles was a big fan of theirs and had them playing on his radio show. About 1947 or so, Carey got tired of Kid Ory. They had been together for about 40-something years at that point, so could happen. And he left to form his own band that unfortunately didn't have a chance to do too much. He died in 1948, fairly young, in his late 50s. But he made a couple of recording sessions in New York, and these used some New Orleans and some swing-era musicians. We're going to hear, in addition to Mutt Carey on trumpet, Jimmy Archie on trombone, Edmund Hall on clarinet, Cliff Jackson, the great stride pianist, Danny Barker on guitar, Pops Foster on bass, and Baby Dodds on drums. And those last three named were New Orleans natives, as was Edmund Hall, and they had all probably played out of the Red Back Book back in their salad days in the Crescent City. This recording session was made for the Century label in November 27th of 1947, and included two jazz standards, Indiana and Fidgety Feet, which I have played on a radio show that is devoted to the music of Mutt Carey. But we're going to hear the three ragtime tunes that they did. We're going to hear Joplin's Sensation, partly by Scott Joplin, partly by Joseph Lamb, Chrysanthemum Rag by Joplin, and The Entertainer. I hope you like The Entertainer. We're going to hear three different versions of it today by three different bands, all playing roughly from the same arrangement, so we'll get a sense of how these New Orleans bands might have varied the arrangements to a certain degree. So those three tunes come directly out of the Red Back Book. To finish off that set, I took something that's not specifically out of the Red Back Book, but was done very much in that style. Jelly Roll Morton's New Orleans Jazzmen, recording in 1939, September 28th, recorded the climax rag, James Scott's ragtime tune. And Morton apparently arranged this himself, and it has that feeling of a ragtime arrangement, although there's some more jazz to be heard in here, certainly, when you have people like Sidney DeParis on trumpet, Fred Robinson on trombone, Albert Nicholas on clarinet, Happy Caldwell on tenor sax, Morton himself on piano, Lawrence Lucy on guitar, Wellman Bro on bass, and Zooty Singleton on drums. You're going to have some good jazz with those fellows there. So that's our first set. Mutt Carey and his New Yorkers doing Joplin Sensation, Chrysanthemum Rag, and The Entertainer. And Jelly Roll Morton and his New Orleans jazz men doing the Climax Rag.
Thank you.
some fun music there. We started out with Mutt Carey and his New Yorkers doing Joplin Sensation, Chrysanthemum, and The Entertainer, all from the John Stark Redback Book of Rags. High-class rags, they were called. And they were all arranged by different people. Some were done by John Stark's son, some by Scott Joplin, and then there are a couple of other people who I don't know too much about, Rocco Venuto and D.S. DeLisle. I guess they were house arrangers at the John Stark Publishing Company in Missouri. So those featured, of course, Mutt Carey on trumpet, Jimmy Archie on trombone, Edmund Hall taking a leading role, playing a lot of melodies. These are taken directly from the stock arrangements of these ragtime tunes. You can find them online. The Ragtime Society has made them available, and you can see that they're reading very strictly from the printed page. They're taking a lot of liberties with the notes and the rhythms, but the routines are pretty much the same. They skip some repeats and first endings, but just in order to fit them onto a 3-minute record, but they largely are keeping with the basic structure of the tunes. Edmund Hall remembered later that when he did this date, he had to go searching for an A clarinet. Symphony players use A and B flat clarinets, but jazz players generally just use B flat. And for studio, or rather theater orchestras and things like that, there were often parts for A clarinet. And the John Stark orchestration seemed to have divided it pretty evenly between A and B flat clarinets, and apparently Mutt Carey wanted to record some of the ones that had A clarinet parts, so Hall had to find one, and not only an A clarinet, but an Albert System A clarinet, because that's what he played. So he must have had to haunt some pawn shops to find that, but it certainly sounded good. I believe Chrysanthemum and Sensation were both done with the A clarinet, and he switched back to B flat for The Entertainer. We also heard Cliff Jackson on piano, taking a little solo on The Entertainer, a good stride piano player, certainly. Danny Barker on guitar, and I think his playing gives this more of a modern swingy cast than, for example, the next recordings we're going to hear had, because they were from an older group of musicians, or a stylistically older group of musicians. We also have Pops Foster playing a very strong 4-beat bass occasionally, in addition to the 2 beats that was written into the arrangement, and Baby Dodds, who was generally considered to be a very fine percussionist, even though he was given his main due as a jazz drummer. Then we finished up with the Climax Rag, an arrangement by Jelly Roll Morton that certainly fit into the style of those Stark arrangements. And that featured Cindy DeParis and Claude Jones in the brass section, Albert Nicholas on clarinet, Happy Caldwell on tenor sax, with Jelly Roll on piano, Lawrence Lucy on guitar, Willem Brough on bass, and Zudi Singleton on drums. Those were done for RCA Victor in September of 1939. So now we're going to go to New Orleans, and this is a session that was kind of a product of the New Orleans revival done for Riverside Records in 1961, excuse me. And this is actually 1960 in this case, the Love Giles Ragtime Orchestra, this was called. It was co-led by Charlie Love on trumpet and Albert Giles on drums. And these were Creole musicians, African-American Creole musicians from New Orleans, who for the most part hadn't left the city, maybe with one exception. They stayed around New Orleans and played jobs all through the Depression and made a go of it that way. They were reading musicians who had played in the 1920s and 30s the more high-class jobs, or they came out of that society where they would have been playing more of this ragtime music. So in addition to Charlie Love on trumpet, we have Albert Warner on trombone, Paul Barnes on clarinet. He had toured extensively with King Oliver and different people, but he was back in New Orleans by the 1950s. Emmanuel Sales on banjo, August Lenoir on bass, and Albert Giles on drums. And these were recorded on June 12th of 1960. We're going to be hearing from the Redback book, The Hilarity Rag, Frog's Legs Rag, another version of The Entertainer, and I'm going to throw in the West Indies Blues. That was recorded by Armin Perrone's band, which was a high-class orchestra in the 1910s and 20s, and they made a series of recordings in New York. And this was one of the tunes that they did, which was kind of on the line between ragtime and the New Orleans style jazz we think of today. Then we're going to finish up with another Perrone tune called Bouncin' Around, and this came from a session on the same CD as the Love Giles Ragtime Orchestra. This is Peter Bocage and his Creole Serenaders. Peter Bocage was a cornet player with the Perrone band. He also played violin, as he does here, Homer Eugene on trombone, Louis Cottrell on clarinet, Benjamin Turner on piano, Sidney Fluger on electric guitar, MacNeil Burrow on bass, and Alfred Williams on drums. And that'll be bouncing around. At some point, we may play the other tracks on that from that session as well. And those were recorded in January of 1961. So that's our set coming up. These were all done in New Orleans. Hilarity Rag, Frog's Legs Rag, The Entertainer, and West Indies Blues by the Love Giles Ragtime Orchestra. And Peter Bocage and his Creole Serenaders doing Bouncing Around.
Thank you.
We have some interesting New Orleans versions of ragtime tunes. We started out with the Love Giles Ragtime Orchestra. Technically, that was also a Peter Bocage group. I had neglected to mention he played violin in that group, along with Charlie Love on trumpet, Albert Warner on trombone, Paul Barnes on clarinet, Emmanuel Sales on banjo, Auguste Lanois on bass, and Albert Giles on drums. We had, as I said, Peter Bocage on violin. And we heard James Scott's Hilarity Rag, James Scott's Frog's Legs Rag, another version of Scott Joplin's The Entertainer, and then we went on to the West Indies Blues, composed by Clarence and Spencer Williams. And that was a tune that had been recorded by Armand Perrone's New Orleans band that was at the Roseland Ballroom in New York City for a few months in 1924, and including Peter Bocage on cornet in that case. And that has a sort of a ragtime feel as well. Then we finished up with another Perrone tune, co-composed by Perrone, the violinist, and Bocage, the cornet player with that band. We heard Bouncin' Around, and that featured the Creole Serenaders, led by Peter Bocage, in that case on trumpet. We had Homer Eugene on trombone, Louis Cottrell on clarinet. Louis Cottrell's father, Louis Cottrell Sr., was the drummer in the original Perrone band. I believe he was replaced by the drummer that we have here, Alfred Williams, maybe not directly, but after a while. We had Benjamin Turner on piano, Sidney Fluger on electric guitar, and MacNeil Breaux on bass. That was recorded in 1961. The other tracks were 1960, and those were all recorded for the Riverside label as part of their New Orleans The Living Legends series. So we're going to go on now to another version of the Redback Book of Rags. And this was done by arguably the centerpiece of the New Orleans jazz revival, Bunk Johnson, the trumpet player, who had claimed to have been born in the late 1870s, and he played with Buddy Bolden and so forth. Most of his claims were kind of exaggerated, but he was playing in New Orleans fairly early, probably by the turn of the century, and he was a good enough musician and reader that he could play these Redback Book of Rags charts, as he probably did. He was in circus bands and theater bands as well. And at the very end of his life, after he had been brought out of retirement, which is a nice way to say out of servitude, he was playing with New Orleans players like George Lewis and Jim Robinson and so forth in New York, also with Sidney Bechet, and they were recording very traditional repertoire. But at the very end of his life, Bunk was given the opportunity to make a record for Columbia, or a series of 78s, and he wanted to return to this ragtime music. This was released under the title of The Last Testament when they were put out on LP a number of years later. They were recorded in 1947, shortly before Bunk died. These were in December of 1947. He didn't last too much longer after that. These were his last recordings. They recorded a few standards, but they recorded a few of the Redback tunes as well. And the band in this case was Bunk Johnson on trumpet, and he wanted to distance himself from the very traditional New Orleans musicians he'd been playing with. So he used a lot of swing-era musicians and musicians who were very good readers. Ed Cuffey on trombone, who would played in a number of big bands, Don Redmond's, Fletcher Henderson's, and so forth. Garvin Bushell on clarinet, whose career in jazz went back to the pre-1920s. He had played with Mamie Smith and early Fletcher Henderson recordings and so forth, and his career went right up to the 1980s. He actually had recorded with John Coltrane in the 60s, and he had a very interesting career playing with Fletcher Henderson and Cab Calloway, among others. And he plays clarinet on this. Don Kirkpatrick was a fine Harlem stride pianist. Danny Barker, whom we met before, a New Orleans player on guitar. Wellman Breaux, we also met before in the Jelly Roll Morton session on bass. And Alphonse Steele on drums. And so this band recorded about half of the tunes they did were ragtime tunes. We're going to hear another version of James Scott's Hilarity Rag. We're going to hear the Redback version of the J. Russell Robinson tune Minstrel Man, then Arthur Marshall's tune Kinklets, and then they did a tune called That Teasin' Rag, which is a Joe Jordan tune from 1909, and I don't believe that was in the Redback book. If it was, it was done maybe in a supplemental edition. It wasn't in the original, as far as I know, or possibly Bunk maybe did an arrangement himself. I don't know, but it certainly fits in here. And then we're going to finish up with our third version of The Entertainer. Good comparison with the other two, because they're all playing from the same parts. In fact, the Mutt Carey recordings that we started out this program with were probably done literally from the same parts. Apparently, Mutt had borrowed the actual parts from Bunk Johnson, and they both recorded them in 1947. Mutt beat Bunk to the punch by a few months, but nevertheless, they were done more or less with the same type of group. Actually, it was only about a month before the Bunk recording, so they got some use at that time. So this is Bunk Johnson and his band playing Hilary Rag, That Minstrel Man, Kinklets, That Teasin' Rag, and The Entertainer.
Thank you.
To my way of thinking, that was probably how the better bands in New Orleans in the 1910s sounded. Maybe not quite as swingy as that, but with the precision of playing. Those were all very fine musicians, and certainly there were a lot of very good ones in New Orleans at that time. The ones we heard from the 1960 session were all a little bit past their prime, and some of them, frankly, weren't that great to begin with, I don't think. That's why they stayed in New Orleans. But the Bunk Johnson recordings were done very, very well. Bunk really played very well, probably the best he ever did, although his style of playing doesn't fit in with our stereotype of what a New Orleans trumpet player should sound like. So these recordings are often overlooked. So we started out with Hilarity Rag, then went to The Minstrel Man, Kinklets, then That Teasin' Rag, the Joe Jordan tune. That was actually probably a sort of a faker jam session version. It was the first strain, or the first strain of that was actually the third strain of the original Dixieland One Step, recorded by the original Dixieland Jazz Band in 1917. They were actually sued by Joe Jordan for stealing that strain, and I believe they won, or Joe Jordan won, rather. The original Dixieland Jazz Band re-recorded the tune as Reisenwerber Rag with a different third strain, but the way people play it today is the original illegal version, I guess you'd have to say. And then we finished up with The Entertainer, so another great version of that tune. So this has been the Jazz Focus. Hope you've enjoyed this program. This has been a little bit different, a little bit more ragtime oriented, but we see how ragtime evolved into jazz and how it influenced early jazz styles, both in instrumentation and in style of playing. So we had some great jazz players represented there who all took pride in their reading abilities and their abilities to realize a score, as the New Orleans players did probably 30, 40 years before that. So this is the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark. If you're interested in sponsoring us, please do so. Give us a little bit of a bump on the sponsorship button. We'd love to have some more members of the family. So thank you very much, and I'll see you on the other side.